This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live at SEC Media Days, guys. It's been an interesting day. Jeremy Pruitt talking to the media as the new Tennessee coach. Obviously, Nick Saban, the show, and everybody wondering what Coach Saban was going to say. And we'll let you hear what he told Dukes and Bell here on our program about as he joined us exclusively. I'll say this, though. You know, and we were talking about this, and we're getting comments and stuff from Alabama fans. How can you count them out? You know, it's one of those things. When this is done, Mike, they'll be picked to win the SEC West again.
Right.
They'll be picked to get back to the college football playoff. I don't know how this thing plays out. But, you know, it's one of those things. Every year we get down to, can't pick against him.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to pick against him. And the reason is because it just seems like they find ways to get it done. Now, you know, yesterday when Kirby Smart was here in Georgia, Kirby talked about, you know, that potential and effectiveness. And they've got a lot of potential at Georgia. But if they don't capitalize on it, it doesn't mean anything. And, you know, that's kind of where they are. For Alabama, the standard is still different because it's been created by Saban to either, as he said, we win 10 games, Mike. It's a bad season.
Well, that's just it. I mean, guys, you want to pull for Auburn. You think that maybe, you know, Jarrett Stidham, because he's got another year under his belt, that they can make some noise because they always recruit well. But, I mean, it's like, that's why I always use that Patriots analogy. I mean, you want to come up with something better. Who would you pencil in right now in the AFC over the Patriots? Jacksonville?
No.
I mean,
no,
exactly.
Because of Belichick.
Because of the way they've built it and the way it's sustainable. And, you know, as we asked him the question, I asked him about, you know, the linebackers. So last year they're decimated. Terrell Lewis, ACL, he lost. He went out in the game. FSU, our buddy Corey Miller, his son, Christian, went out with an arm injury. So they had a ton of guys. That's just two of them. They had a bunch. But they just plug in the next man up. And, look, the ballsy move to go with Tagovailoa, you know, had played it down for you, and then you plug him in there, and then boom. That's everything you need to know about Saban. Remember, look how discombobulated it looked at. You had a player freaking out on the sideline, yelling at coaches.
Right.
You had guys scrapping on the field. Looked like they were totally losing their composure. Come out in the second half, and they bounced back, including bounce back from a second and 26 that effectively took him out of field goal range in overtime.
Mike, it's a great point. You know, after that game, and certainly we were disappointed. You know, I said that Monday after that national championship game, or actually it was a Tuesday, I believe, you know, that was probably the second most disappointing day in Atlanta sports outside of the Falcons losing the Super Bowl the way we did, with Georgia having a chance in a national championship. And we were, you know, a little bit depressed. But to your point about him pulling, you know, Jalen Hurts and putting Tua in there, how many coaches would have done that? And remember, we talked about this.
Right.
This is what separates the greats. Now, if it fails, obviously he's getting killed, but he had the stones to say, screw it, I'm going to do it.
Roll the dice here.
And I've seen this kid enough in practice to know he can do it, and he did it. I just think so many coaches would have went, I don't know. I can hear coaches on the headset, coach, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Here's like halftime. This is what we're doing, and I don't care what anybody thinks.
Well, the other thing is with Saban as far as – and again, I'm not trying to make this like the Nick Saban love fest, but as Carl said, the resume speaks for itself. How can you not sit there and we talked about it. I asked him about his younger coaches because much like, you know, when Coach Bowden had things cooking at Florida State for 15 years and finishing top five, which is insane. You know, they're always – I mean, and the bowl record was amazing. They lose all their core coaches. You lose your OCs, you lose your DCs, you lose your guys like Chuck Amato and your Mark Richt and everything, right? Those guys all go out, and then you eventually fall down, you fall off. And Nick Saban has replaced tons and tons of coaches, and there's no fall off.
It's incredible. We'll let you hear from Nick Saban coming up. Dave Archer is going to join us at 6:20 from the ACC Media Days, guys, which started today. And there are some key questions. I mean, listen, everybody thinks it's Dabo, Sweeney, and the Clemson Tigers and everybody else. Obviously, Coach Taggart down at Florida State, do something. What can he do in his first season? I've said this, Mike, and I think you were out when we talked about it. Their strength of schedule is a monster. They got a top five strength of schedule.
There's a couple of teams that all have a similar storyline. Jimbo Fisher at A&M, ironically. Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. Willie Taggart. All first-year coaches who all have a lot of skill position players and have real limited offensive line depth. And that's the problem for all three. And they, you know, in the case of Florida State, as you just mentioned, the schedule – start with Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia Tech's got their own academic issues and suspensions for discipline. Guys kicked off the team. So Fuente's got his own situation. And then, you know, a sleeper team could be Georgia Tech. Paul Johnson spoke with the media today, talked about the new 3-4 defense. You know, when they're cooking, we know what they're capable of. They hung. I mean, there's not many games they got blown out. You know, you go back and look at it, they were in the Miami game, in the Clemson game, in, you know, they, you know, the Virginia game is the one that leaves Tech fans scratching their heads because you're a better team. But anyway, the point being, Georgia Tech, this could be a year where maybe they could sneak in.
I've said it. I like Tech to win 8 or more games. They've got a legitimate.
And Georgia fans need, sorry to cut you off, Georgia fans need Tech to win 8 games for the juice of hopefully beating Georgia Tech. They may need that.
Late in the season. Kevontae Benson.
Kevontae Benson.
Yeah, the Benson that is a great running back. Taekwon, I'm thinking in my head here. Mm-hmm. The quarterback is back. Mike, they've got some really good weapons. Can they get pressure and can they turn people over? Those are the two things that Georgia Tech didn't do a good job of. It's right. Dukes and Bell. We'll hear from Dave Archer coming up at 6:20. Let's get to our top three at 6.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Let's start with Alabama and head coach Nick Saban, who joined us here on Dukes and Bell. We asked Coach what everybody's wanting to know, and we asked him a variety of other things, which you can go to the website at 929thegame.com and hear and check out as the video is up. I believe Knox Bardeen has told us, so go listen and check it out. But we asked him about the quarterback situation. You've got a situation where you have a guy in Jalen Hurts who's won a lot of games for you, and Tua Tagovailoa, who came in, as Mike mentioned, and won the national championship. We asked Coach Saban, what's the deal? Who is going to start?
Well, I think that we have to be fair in giving both guys a really good opportunity. And I think one of the two players have to win the team. And I think both guys are capable to contribute to the team, and that's also a possibility. That both guys play a role in what our team does. It's just a competition, no different than a competition at any other position. And I don't think it's been determined yet. So you just kind of let it play out. And I'm not sure that I can set some date and say on August the 18th, it's going to get determined. It's going to get determined when it gets determined, and that's going to be the way it has to be.
I think it's a similar situation. Check that. Fromm's job, but you will see a competition like this with Fields to push Fromm.
Right,
I think it's Fromm's job.
But we asked Saban in the follow-up, I think it seems like he wants one guy to win the job. I mean, they say they can contribute, but he really wants one guy to be the first amongst equals.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in the case of Fields and Fromm, you're going to take a little bit, hopefully more effectively than DJ Shockley was used when David Green. See, that's the thing. Fromm is a winner, puts you in the national championship game. But, you know that Fields is a better athlete and gives you more versatility. He can get outside the hash marks and really open up things. But I think they're going to try to develop plays for him, whereas Saban wants one guy to win this job definitively in the month of August.
It is true. Coach Saban talking about a couple of other things. One of them today, he's not retiring anytime soon. I asked him that. People are trying to find a coach. He's 66, but he says, I'm in good health. I'm happy. And I still love what I'm doing. So there's no reason for him to walk away. I know there are a lot of people who think he's going to give this up maybe if he wins another national championship. Remember last year, what if Saban wins another one? Well, he did, and he didn't retire. People thought he might retire after last year.
His wife doesn't want him home.
She doesn't. Miss Terry doesn't. What wife does want her husband home?
So
honestly, right. It's like, when you're home all the time and you've been with a woman or in marriage for 20 or 30 years, they don't want you home.
Now, Bobby Bowden's wife, Bobby's like, what am I going to do? He used to say he has to keep working because he's got to keep shopping. The one coach who didn't really need football was just happy to play golf was Spurrier. Remember, that was the thing with Spurrier. It's like, well, crap, he's going to Columbia because Augusta's up the road. Remember that?
That's true.
But, it is interesting to see how these guys, and as we said, we've talked to Brad Nessler yesterday about it, and guys have told us, Saban's not the same guy you see on that podium when he's getting asked asinine questions over and over by some members of the media that covers Bama. But I mean, he was pretty jovial by his standards with us today.
Have you ever heard a player talk bad about Nick Saban publicly?
Nope.
Because they like him. That he has a likability factor that most of us don't or not aware of because we're not around him all the time. That, to me, speaks volumes because as much as we think he can be a jerk, I think that tells you, Mike, guys that have played for him, they win, they have fun, and he's a lot looser than
but
what you think.
The good news, guys, as we said, the reason we're talking, we're just tuning in, we're talking so much about Saban, we had him on earlier, and we've been playing cuts, is Georgia fans feeling that, you know, you've got that brand, and you're reading the articles. Jeff Schultz had it in The Athletic. Mark Bradley wrote about it. There was a national piece saying that now Georgia is in that rarefied air of Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama because of the recruiting,
yeah,
because of the way Kirby runs his shop, the way he runs his shop, which is exactly the way Saban runs his.
Story number two, guys, big trade in the NBA today. Kawhi Leonard has been traded from the San Antonio Spurs, not to the Lakers, but to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan. Let's be clear, neither one of these guys like this deal.
Right.
Kawhi has already said he might not show up, and then the NBA is going to get involved and start taking a lot of money out of his pocket, because once deals like this and trades are made, the NBA has the ability right. to do that with the collective bargaining agreement. Bottom line is DeMar DeRozan did not want to leave Toronto. He thought he was going to be a Raptor for life.
Well, they told him that. I guess that was until Popovich called him this deal from San Antonio.
So, you know, as we've been saying today, and I want to get your opinion on this, Mike. Was Toronto going to get out of the East and play for an NBA championship with the current team they had?
Well, here's the ultimate irony. If they knew LeBron James was going to the Lakers, they might actually be able to make a run. They won more games. They had the home field, or home court, I should say, if you could have, you know, supplemented that. But they didn't make any moves this year until now. I mean, real moves. That's the thing about Toronto. I mean, you could argue that you could have maybe you could have picked up some pieces here and there and made a run to win the East, but your coach is gone, and now you're picking up Kawhi Leonard. He could be gone after 1 year. Then it's a salary dump, and you're right back where we are. Like the Hawks, we'll have a leg up on Toronto the way Philadelphia had all those years for rebuilding.
There's many ways to look at this. As I tweeted out today, and we invite you to follow us, 92.9 The Game. He's at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell, 92.9. I think the Spurs won in this deal. And DeMar DeRozan, get out of your bag. You're going to play for Greg Popovich, a championship coach, a Hall of Fame coach.
Right.
He's a better coach than anybody you've had in Toronto. He will utilize your skills. What I need to see from DeMar DeRozan is be that dude. He should have been better in the playoffs instead of folding up like a cheap suit.
Well, dude, I mean, think about it, man. He basically took, like, the technical get me out of here foul.
Right.
You know, the guy, he showed a lack. I mean, I don't know DeMar DeRozan. All I know is, like, the only time I watch the Raptors is in the playoffs. But, I mean, I thought if you're considered one of the top 10 players in this league, step up and take the shot. You know, there were times where Lowry, there were times where first-year players in Toronto were actually the guys that were taking those shots late. That's supposed to be him. So maybe Greg Popovich could get this guy to find a Valentine. And meanwhile, if you're – and real quick, on Kawhi Leonard, what are you? You're 27 years of age. You're in the – this should be the biggest time of your life. You should be the most effective, one of the top five players in the league. And now people don't even know what the heck you are right now.
He and by the way, the reason why the Spurs win is you trade an all-NBA player, win healthy, and his head is right. And you get an all-star back. That's not a bad trade-off. You're not getting potential in picks. You're not getting down the road.
Again, established guy.
Absolutely.
Albeit his shortcomings we just discussed.
So, you know, I think for that matter, and then for you know, Toronto, Mike, he's not going to stay. And people are like, oh, they'll sell him. You're not selling him on Toronto. You get more taxes up there. The bottom line is he wants to play where he wants to play, and I think it ultimately is going to be L.A., but the deal is done. He gets traded. One other side note NBA deal, the Hawks are in current talks with Oklahoma City. We put this out there today to potentially move Dennis Schroeder for Carmelo Anthony. It would not mean that Melo would play for the Hawks. It would simply mean this is kind of a salary dump, guys. You get rid of Dennis, and you would ultimately buy out Carmelo.
You still don't think Carmelo would put fannies in the seats? I know his value is mud. He might now have a choice to come off the bench somewhere. He said he doesn't want to do that.
I would rather go see Trae Young and John Collins than I would Carmelo Anthony.
Melo
right
in
now.
The mix, kind of becoming a black hole in the offense. Carmelo Anthony, in case you're wondering, guys, it's the last year of the deal. Yes, you'd have to eat. You'd dump $23 million, but it's still cheaper than riding out the contract. 3 years left on Dennis Schroeder's deal. Mike Muscala would also go on that contract. So basically, it's a saving of $20 million or so in the net because you're finally getting Schroeder off the books and you're helping Oklahoma City get that ridiculous over the salary or the luxury
tax
to get DeMelo off their books.
Hey, story number three, it's the All-Star game, guys. Did you watch last night? Interesting game.
Freaking great game.
10 home runs. Astros third baseman Alex Bregman was named the All-Star Game MVP. Let's hear from Bregman on his experience.
Just an incredible two years for the Houston Astros. It's been a blast. Being able to just be on this field with such great players on both sides and have my family and friends in attendance. My dad grew up here, actually sat on Ted Williams' lap. So this is really special to us.
Very cool, man. The father and son, the history of baseball, always seems to have that interconnectivity.
Yeah.
Very cool. Two things. It was basically what modern baseball is. It was strikeouts or home runs, but 10 home runs. Bregman and also Springer from the Astros, both off a Dodger reliever. So it was kind of like the World Series all over again. You got some. You're in high cotton right now if you are an Astros fan. And also, Jeanette, he had the home run to extend it to extra innings. But I thought it was an exciting game. And it was only 3.5 hours, too, Carl.
Oh, it moved. And I thought they did an excellent job. Side note with the pitching. If they had to go extra innings, additional innings, Mike, they were in a good position to not have to run out of pitchers, which became a big deal some years ago.
Both the NL and the AL had two more pitchers to go. I thought it was kind of cool. One thing I don't understand, I don't really think we think of the Nationals that way. Maybe you like to boo Bryce Harper. How about the negative response the Nationals getting on the Braves players?
Yeah, I asked last night, is that a sign of respect for Freddie? Because it was like,
and Freddie Freeman from the
boo! And I was like, what? And they booed every Braves player. I didn't get it. It's an all-star game.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm sorry that we're in the same division. Sorry you guys choke it away every year in the playoffs. But that did kind of surprise me. But 8-6 the final, the American League wins, by the way, 10th year in a row.
All right, let's give you a chance.
That was it, like 10th year, 7th, 8th, 9th?
Six years in a row.
Okay, there you go. Ten home runs.
But they now own, I think, the overall series lead.
Oh, by the way, one sidebar. This is, 3B or C.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. I want to give a shout-out. Ozzie Albies is now officially my favorite Atlanta Brave.
Why?
You like Acuna? I'm an Albies guy.
Yeah, Acuna's my
dude. Have you seen who he's dating?
No, what's going on?
The picture's up at Mike Bell ATL, Brazil Miss.
Oh, yeah, from earlier today.
Let me tell you something. Ozzie Albies is a winner in life, and he's a winner in baseball.
Yeah, well, that's one way to put
it. He's an hombre. Get that man a Hey Man Ale.
My question is, yeah, he does need that. Why? How many pictures did you take of your girl? Was he taking these pictures?
No, she's an Instagram model.
Oh,
so
aren't they all?
Yes. But anyway, just to check it out at Mike Bell ATL.
By the way,
follow the station at 92.9 The Game.
Ozzie. I'm not mad at you, man. I'm not mad at you. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now before Bo loses his mind.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Boy, I can't wait till he's off. The code word is mate. M-A-T-E. Mate.
Ozzie Albies has found a fine mate. M-A-T-E. Mate.
72881. That's 72881. Text it right now. For your chance to win $1,000 from your cell phone, do not text and drive. Message and data rates apply.
How about a point to Dukes and Bell? Hey, man, hey, mate. Mate, M-A-T-E. Mate goes to 72881. Answer the phone if somebody calls, dude. You're going to win $1,000.
Dave Archer joins us next from the ACC Media Days. What's going down there? We'll ask some key questions in regards to the ACC. Is he on? Is he there? And Bell live at SEC Media Days, guys. But we're going to shift gears and talk to our man Dave Archer, who happens to be at ACC Media Days.
Because he's kind of a big deal in the ACC.
Well, listen, and I don't know about you, but that conference, you know, I still don't know if they get the respect they deserve. For me, you could easily argue they've been the better conference here over the last 3 to 4 years. And there are many questions to be asked and answered here over the next couple of days for the ACC. So Dave Archer on the waitforward.com hotline joining us. And Dave, first and foremost, thanks for joining us. As you know, we're down here in downtown Atlanta taking in all the festivities with the SEC. But tell us about the ACC, because I know Dabo Swinney has a lot of questions to answer, and some people are already asking the question about his quarterback situation.
Yeah, and we'll see Dabo and the boys from the Atlantic side come in tomorrow, Carl. So we did the Coastal today. We get the Atlantic guys in tomorrow. So Dabo will have some answers or some questions to answer if he decides to answer them at all. Of course, Willie Taggart's got to figure out what he's got going on at quarterback at Florida State. So be interesting to see what the Atlantic guys have to say. Coastal guys, a lot of optimism from the Coastal coaches here. Obviously, people are pointing to is, is this Miami's year to finally break through? Well, there's a couple of, suitors for that top spot in the Coastal. You start talking about Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Duke. Some of those teams are kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, hoping that they're the team that's standing here in Charlotte when you get play that first weekend of December.
It is Dave Archer again up at their media days. Used to be a real kind of intimate affair, Carl. We said it was like an Episcopal church mixer with cocktails and golf.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's kind of a big deal like this thing, Arch, isn't it?
It has become a big deal, Mike, much, much more so than it was. But it's still a very cool, intimate scenario when you start talking about where Radio Row is. The coaches, when they're going to the network rooms, are to go right through Radio Row every time, all the players. So a lot of great access up here to what's going on with the teams. And as you said, Carl, arguably maybe the best team in the country, and Clemson will be in town tomorrow.
And that's the thing, Arch, now that Florida State's kind of hit the reset button with Taggart, Clemson's the bell cow. A lot of people, high expectations about Virginia Tech, but everything between the academics with their quarterback discipline, Fuente's team's like kind of going up in smoke before the season even starts.
Well, I think they've kind of stabilized things a little bit, Mike. They've lost a couple of guys on the defensive side. Josh Jackson will be able to play the quarterback you're talking about, so they've rectified some of those academic issues with him. He was here representing his team today along with Ricky Walker, their big-time defensive tackle that plays for Bud Foster on that defensive side. So there is some optimism in the fact that maybe the arrow's pointed up a little bit after kind of a tumultuous offseason for Virginia Tech where some guys were asked to leave the team. Josh Jackson was one of those guys who was in doubt a little bit, but not so now. He's ready to play, and he'll be the signal caller for the Hokies when they get ready to line up. Of course, they got a big one to start off with. They've got to go to Tallahassee on that opening weekend to take on Willie Taggart's team in the Seminoles.
Let's talk about Coach Mark Richt and the Hurricanes. You know, the turnover chain was a phenomenon. It was cool for Miami. They backed it up with the program's first, and it's even hard for me to say this, their first ACC championship game appearance. I mean, Arch, you say that and you go, wait a minute, Miami hasn't played for an ACC championship? They hadn't up until last year, but now how do you build on this? Because they open up the season against LSU.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy start for them, Carl. It's an excellent test for them right out of the box. They go to Arlington to take on an LSU team that's got some questions about them, but still, you know, they're going to be talented athletically, so that'll be a hell of a matchup between those two teams. It really kind of will boil down to how well Malik Rozier plays quarterback, and he improved on his play a year ago. He's got to take care of the ball a little bit better. He had 14 interceptions a year ago, got to take care of the ball there. And can he get his completion percentage up in that 60 range? He's about a 54, 55% passer. If he can jump it up into that 60 range, take care of the football, I think that Miami's got a chance to really do some damage. They obviously had that swoon at the end of the year when they lost to Pitt, unforgivably lost to Pitt at Pitt, and then, of course, lost to, in bad fashion. Really, Clemson blew them off the field in the ACC championship game and then lost the bowl game. So didn't finish things very well. There's a lot of optimism, obviously. They think Mark Richt has got his best team, and they arguably have the best set of linebackers in the country. That's what's kind of cool about this conference, guys, this year, is you could go through some position groups, Boston College's offensive line, Miami's linebackers, obviously Clemson's defensive line, Louisville's wide receivers. You could make an argument that those groups are the best in the country in their particular grouping. So there's a lot of good football players in this conference.
It's our man Dave Arch, normally here with Wes Drewham and the Falcons, guys. Before you know, we'll be talking with Arch. We'll be sitting on a hill, Carl, and you'll be dismissing some young draft pick as a bust.
Oh, this is true. It happens every year.
Arch is up in Charlotte, ACC Media Days.
This kid is not any good. Arch is like, give him a break, Dukes.
Yes, we're up here in the Omni, Arch. It's the same as always. ACC Media Days. I want to eat a bullet. Anyway, Arch, real quick, Georgia Tech, new defense, going to go with a 3-4, got a new defensive coordinator from App State. We were saying, you know, if Mark Richt in Miami stumbles, could this be a year where Georgia Tech maybe sneaks up? Because all they got to do is close out their opponents and get a few stops on D.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see how they absorb the 3-4. Had a chance to visit with Brant Mitchell, their middle linebacker. He's going to have to stay on the field. Now, they're really young in the secondary. I know you guys have been talking about all year long. They've lost some guys. A.J. Gray obviously gone with screwy reasons as to him not being in the secondary. But they're really young in the back end. But if they can get a few stops, I think, Taquan Marshall will be the key. If he can get his completion percentage in that 50 to 55 range, you know, you're asking a little bit now from him. He completed only 37% of his balls, but he probably missed about five or six touchdowns that win games. And as you guys talk about throughout the year, how close Georgia Tech's losses were a year ago, Miami, the team that won that side, they literally have Miami beaten. The tip ball beats them. If they can close out some stuff and they get some little bit better play throwing the ball from Taquan Marshall, Georgia Tech could be right there in the mix at the end to win the Coastal. So I think this is one of those years where Georgia Tech could be a factor. They get all their offensive linemen back, get a couple guys back off of injury. They've got a talented crew with the A-backs and B-backs, and, of course, Taquan Marshall, outstanding player. So it should be fun. Georgia Tech has a chance to have a really good year.
C and D.
No, just A and B, Carl. Oh, again, you're being truculent.
Hey, I want to ask you about a kid because you said you're going to get a chance to talk to the Atlantic side of things tomorrow in the ACC. It's Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Clemson, NC State, Louisville, Wake Forest, Boston College, Florida State. But I want to ask you about a kid that I know you're aware of. that maybe a lot of people in the country are not. And I'm talking about the running back at Boston College, this Dillon kid, A.J. Dillon. How good is he, Arch? Here's a kid that ran for over 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns, and he didn't officially take over as a starter until mid-October last year.
Yeah. In fact, the game that I did was the Louisville game on mid-October a year ago. They are playing at Louisville. They end up winning that game 45-42. Dillon runs for 273 yards in the game and body slammed about half of the Louisville defense on his way on about a 60-yard touchdown run. He's 6 feet, 245 pounds. And as I mentioned, Carl, they get 10 of their 11 offensive starters return, including their entire offensive line. They got a talented quarterback that got hurt mid-year, in fact, got hurt in the game that I'm talking about, in Anthony Brown. He comes back. He stays on the field. A.J. Dillon is a legitimate, if they play well in the offensive front, which they did a year ago, and you mentioned his numbers at almost 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns, he'll have a chance to be a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate because of who he is and the market he's in. And he's a big back that can body slam people and can really run it.
Got about a minute left with Dave Archer live up in North Carolina at ACC Media Days. We're live here at SEC. Arch, Florida State, I got a chance to talk to Coach Taggart briefly at a booster event earlier this summer. One thing for certain, they got some skill position guys, but they got a real depth issue at offensive line. Actually, Jimbo's got the same thing at A&M. I mean, do you buy Florida State winning 7 or 8 games this year?
Well, I think they're so talented, Mike, that I think that last year, I think that's an aberration last year. I thought you had some guys on the defensive side of the ball that shut it down. Those guys have gone out of the National
Bingo.
Football League. So there'll be younger players on the defensive side that are going to have to step up, but they don't have the name that some of those guys had that kind of shut it down. I think those guys will play better on the defensive side of the ball, and I think you will, if they can solve, obviously you've got to solve the quarterback issue. Is it DeAndre Francois? Is it James Blackman? Is it Bailey Hockman from McEachern High School? Who's going to play quarterback? But they've got one of the best running backs in the country in Cam Akers. They've got outstanding talent around him, a wide receiver. And, yeah, they're a little thin on the offensive line. They've got guys that have played. They just don't have a lot of play time, so they'll have to come together quickly. And they get Virginia Tech on opening weekend, so Bud Foster's defense is going to defense will challenge them.
Can't wait, man. Arch, we're almost there. It's almost time for some football, some good college football. Hey, enjoy your time there at ACC Media Days. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Sounds good. By the way, that deal with Mike and Willie Taggart, from what I understand, he was hawking Taggart, and he was having me escorted from the building. I don't think there was anything there about some kind of.
No. By the way, there's no truth to the rumors that I got. No truth that I got Mace trying to get to Jimbo Fisher on Monday here at SEC Media Days. Have fun up there, bro. Say hi to Commissioner Swofford. Have a hot toddy.
Swofford's a big deal, man. Bye.
That's our man. It's Arch. Hey, guys, I got a fun game winner. I think it's fun, Carl. You tell me if you like it. A couple of things for you. We hung out with Saban for a minute today, and we have heard from a lot of guys that talk to Saban every season that, you know, despite the icy relationship he has sometimes with the media, he's actually got a warm and fuzzy side, like taking the boat out with the boys. Until, you know, you asked about the engine cocking out.
Yeah,
because the fuel pump.
Did you see the way he looked at me? He was like, the fuel pump went out. I was like, yeah, right, coach.
You think Nick Saban's going to go? You think Coach Saban's going to go on a boat on a lake without the full amount of gas in the tank?
Well,
do you hate Alabama? Hang up and listen.
Yeah. He's like, I got plenty of gas tanks. I might need them for my boat, Coach.
All right,
thank
man.
You.
Here's the thing, man. A dude in sports, a guy that maybe you didn't like, and you've come around on that guy. You know. And by the way, Terrell Owens is one of those guys. Cause I always thought he was a meathead. Then I got a chance to meet him when he was here in Atlanta training back in the early 2000s. You know, you had a good relationship with T.O., so I kind of, you know, that's why I kind of so ticked off that he's not going to Canton for the Hall of Fame. I want to see him be able to step up and do his thing. But a guy that you've maybe come around on, you didn't like the guy or the gal, and now you say, you know what, they're okay in my book. 404-741-0929.
All right, Dan, that's tonight's game winner. Your call's next.
Hey, man, somebody maybe in the world of sports, you thought he was a toolbox, and then you're like, you know what, he's okay in my book. I came around on that guy.
There's a lot of guys, especially in sports, that you don't like that maybe you come around on. Maybe they get traded to your team, Kawhi. Or maybe you didn't like their game and their game got better or they did something spectacular.
Right.
Or maybe you found out that, you know, they help kids. And you go, wow, I didn't know that guy was had a generous heart.
Right.
So I start to like him. Who's that guy for you?
You know what? I told you earlier we were joking around watching the All-Star game. And I think maybe because I like Smoltz so much that he's softened my feelings about Joe Buck.
Oh, yeah.
But last night, Buck was talking to Matt Kemp, and he was talking to, again, I forgot the kid's name, with a beard in Colorado, Squid. The kid with the beard, the long hair, the center fielder for the Rockies. Oh, you're dead to me. What's that?
What?
What's that, Abe? Thank you. Charlie Black. You know, Abe, I predict big things for Abe in the organization.
I do
he's
too.
On the ball.
Well, here's what's
he knows
obvious.
Who the ball
here's
players
what's obvious
are.
To me is this guy's already checked out. He's
Bo
off Friday.
Is out. You know, he's out of it.
And he's Abe, off Friday. He's already checked out.
There's a young go-getter, named Abe, who's working his butt off back at the ranch. And, you know, it's not often that Jewish guys make it in the media, Carl, so we're all pulling for him.
You know, you're right about that.
I hear you. All right, man, let's get to it. A guy that maybe you've come around on in the world of sports. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Ironically for me, it was kind of a love-hate, but not, although I never hated him, love kind of relationship. Season ticket holder, went through all the issues sitting in those seats that he went through. I'm very thankful for where he is today and thankful for his family, and it's Michael Vick for me.
Interesting. Nice. Interesting, man.
Interesting.
You know, because I think, you know, I think time does soften some of the ways or the, you know, the feelings you had about a guy. You know, we've had Mike on, and, yeah. You know, we had Mike on at the Super Bowl. You and I weren't working together at the time, but, you know, looks you in the eye, tells you, you know, you wish you could get in the time machine and get Mike with the good head on his shoulders and stick him in here in Atlanta back in 2003. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be.
Yeah, he grew up, and we all do, right? But the thing for me, this is the maturity. When you talk to Mike Vick now versus, and Mike can attest to this, when he first came into the league and the attitude, and
right.
I'm not saying it was, you know, screw everybody, but it was different. And you see as he goes through all those things how much more mature he has become in his life and how he handles situations. That's interesting because there are a lot of people, Mike, who said at the time, you know it.
Right.
Oh. I'll never give him
no,
another
man,
shot.
No, man, I know. And I do think, you know, again, Mike's going to be involved with that arena. I mean, not arena, the American, whatever the hell this new league is going to be. The AAF that's going to be
Alliance,
playing.
The Alliance.
You're darn right it is down at Turner Field. At now it's Panther, Georgia State Stadium. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro, a guy in sports you've come around on.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
A guy that I could never stand was Tony Stewart, and he finally come around for me. But on the flip side of that, I used to love LeBron James, and now I can't stand him.
What made you change? Thank you, sir, for hanging up.
Well, you know, actually,
I can't stand him.
No, I mean, I came back around on LeBron. I didn't like the decision. And now, compared to what, you know, obviously we saw with Durant.
What did LeBron do to you
guys? Nothing. It took a minute for us to get our heads around this new era we live in where guys are passive aggressive and they're not going to tell you how they really feel, but they do get the job done. He's a tremendous athlete. But now we know, based on the championship record, Michael is still the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You can appreciate LeBron.
What?
You can appreciate LeBron in this era.
You just tried to sneak that in.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro.
AT's not even here. You're trying to sneak that in.
I got to step up for AT. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro, a guy that you've come around on sports.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Pittsburgh fan, man. And when we drafted Ben Roethlisberger, I was not a fan of his game. It was very unorthodox, him shaking off 300-pound defenders and then throwing the touchdown, man. So that was the guy I hated at first, but I've grown to love him over two Super Bowls. And all you Falcons fans out there, stop hating on Matt Ryan because it gets worse. I'm out.
Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you.
You know, that's the thing about Ben. He also
grew
up,
by the way,
too.
Steelers done this year. Done.
And Antonio Brown's on the cover of Madden for those that aren't familiar with Carl's. You're not catching his drift.
They're finished.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. We're live in a half-empty ballroom surrounded by old white guys, and you're on the radio, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's going on, fellas? Listen, I'm born and bred in Cincinnati, Ohio, diehard the Ohio State fan living in SEC country, right? I dreaded and I hated when we picked up Urban Meyer. I tell you, I thought that was betrayal after they drug us in the championship. But now, hey, ain't nothing better.
Yeah. Urban for life, right?
Yeah, man. So there you go. Urban Meyer, he's a hairless nut, but he's come around on that guy.
You know what? That's interesting because I think there's a lot of coaches like that that you dislike.
Right.
And then they come to your program or have a chance change your program, and you're like, okay, I'm good with this guy.
Right. Hey, man, you're on the radio. We had a conversation with Saban. I believe it's online already at 929thegame.com. Guys are hitting us up on Twitter, so check it out. Hey, man, you're on the radio, man. What you got?
Hey, guys. I got two. The first one is Greg Popovich. Wasn't a big fan of him growing up, watching him. And then as soon as Craig Sager passed away, I kind of showed how lighthearted he was and passionate.
Great
and
point.
How he,
great point.
You know, he basically almost cried on national television, and it showed that, you know, the touchy, soft side of Greg Popovich because, you know, he's always been kind of hard-nosed and kind of tough, and it kind of brought me around. And then the second one is Jose Canseco. You know, I thought he was kind of a jerk, you know, for putting out all those names. Thought he was just trying to sell a book, but it came out to be somewhat true. So kind of came full circle on that one.
That's interesting. That's, you know, because he did drop some names, and a lot of guys were stonewalling on it, but he was actually right about it, you know?
Yeah.
Jose's a strange duck, though.
He is, and I'm going to tell you this. Early, when Pop got that job, I happened to be covering the Spurs. This is mid-90s, and he's always been that way, but the championships also allowed him to become that guy that you now see where he goes, why do we even do sideline reports? He's a little bit over the top, but Pop is a really good dude.
Right.
And guys in the NBA know that, which is why this Kawhi Leonard thing is weird.
He's the only guy in the NBA who hasn't been able to get along with Popovich. You're right. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Somebody in sports you came around on. What do you got?
Who?
Craig, Abe, what did he say?
Yeah.
All right, Craig's upset, and now he's yelling at us.
Yeah, all look, right, Bo's already checking. Wow. He's waving, get out, get
man,
out.
Man, you know what, Abe, I take back what I said about you. Guys are getting cranky. I tell you
That's what's going on
guys
here.
Are cranky. That's SEC Media on. Days, you know, it's a crucible of SEC Media Days.
We're coming back. We'll clear our throats, and we will get out of here and tell you what's coming up tomorrow on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.